beautiful songs today in reminding us of who Jesus is and what He's done. Well, today is one of those days where we come to this place to partake in the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. Now, I struggle with this at times because so often we come to this time and it's just something that we do as Baptists. It's something that we do from time to time. Some think we don't do it enough. Some think we do it too often. But whenever we do it, whenever we come to this time, there's some things that we need to be mindful of. And if you have your Bible, if you will, turn to the book of 1 Corinthians. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and this church is a church that's struggling with a lot of things. They're coming from so many various pagan religions and so many different backgrounds, and they've been saved out of all these different ways of doing things and different ideas and different lifestyles and different paths. And I don't care who you are, when you're saved, you still bring some baggage with you. You bring your past, you bring your struggles, you bring your old way of thinking, you bring all kinds of things to the body of Christ, and Christ wants to redeem those things. Christ wants to change the things He needs to change. He wants to develop the things in you He needs to develop, and He wants to create in you someone who brings honor and glory to Him. And this ordinance of the Lord's Supper is something that reminds us. It's a time that we are to remember, but it's also a time where we need to reflect. And as we look at this passage, I want us to think about today, because the whole focus of this service together, this whole time together, is going to revolve around what we're going to do in a few minutes, where we take a little piece of bread, drink a little cup of grape juice. But it means so much more than that. Now, today, if you're here and you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want today to be a day where you understand more of what it means, of what Jesus has done for you, whether you've accepted it or not, whether you've trusted it or not. I want you to hear what God has done for you. And hopefully, you'll see how much He loves you, and you'll surrender your heart and your life to Him. For those of us who've been saved and we've surrendered our heart and our life to Him, we've experienced that forgiveness of our sins, today I want it to be a day of remembering and a day of growth, a day of commitment, a day of reflection and purpose, to where it's not just a piece of bread and not just a cup of grape juice, and I keep wanting to say wine because that's what the Bible uses, but we're using grape juice. But it's something that is so much more significant than just those two things. I want today to be a day of meaning, a day of growth in our relationship with the Lord. So if you have your Bibles in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, if you will stand, we'll read what Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. And then we're going to talk just a few minutes about what we're about to do. And then we're going to share in the Lord's Supper. Beginning in verse 23, it says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which He was betrayed, took the bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it, and He said, 'This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.' In the same way, He took the cup, and also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat the bread and to drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number are asleep. But if we judge ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, We are disciplined by the Lord so that we will not be condemned along with the world. Let's pray. Lord God, we come to you at this time, Lord, to partake in this ordinance, this event that you ordained the night before you were crucified. And God, I pray today as we come to this place and we remember that, God, it will be a time of decision, a time of transformation, a time of devotion to you. God, so often in our busy world, in our busy lives, Lord, we forget, and Lord, we let our commitment to you wane, be replaced by things of this world and desires of this world, and God, we lose focus from time to time. Lord, let this time be a few moments where we refocus our lives, we reorder our desires, and we get back under your authority and your word and live for your glory. God, the decisions and the commitments that are made today and reaffirmed today, God, I pray that they would be real and there would be real evidence of it in the days ahead. God, I pray for your Holy Spirit to fill this room and fill our hearts and fill this opportunity we have to meet with you. Change us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. A couple of things I want to point out about this that I think are very important for us to remember as we enter into this time, this service, this ordinance that we're about to partake in as believers in the Lord. First of all, Paul says that this is what I got from God. This is what I have been taught by the Lord. This is not something that the disciples told me, the apostles told me. This is something that I have experienced, I have heard directly from God that you need to be about this ordinance. And this is how it needs to be done. It needs to be a time of remembrance. So he tells them that the Lord, when he took the bread, the night he was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. As often as you do this, and as you drink it, do it in remembrance of me." A couple of things there I want you to understand. This bread, this juice that we're about to partake, is symbolic. And it symbolizes the body of Jesus. It symbolizes the blood of Jesus. And Paul is reminding the church, as God and Jesus Christ told the disciples, you need to be thinking about, when you share in this supper, you need to be thinking about two things: the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. What about the body of Christ? He said, as oft as you do it in remembrance of me. This is my body, which is for you. We need to be reminded of the fact that Jesus came with the purpose of dying for our sins. Jesus, in his body, accepted the wrath of God on our behalf. We need to remember that Jesus accepted God's wrath so that we would never, ever have to face God's wrath. If you're a child of God, today you need to remember that in the body of Christ you have freedom from the wrath of God. Now, we will be disciplined by God. He talks about that a little bit later in this passage. There's a difference between discipline and wrath. Discipline is to draw you back to Him. Discipline is to stop you, a roadblock between where you're going and where God wants you to be. He disciplines us to bring us back under His authority, to remind us that we're heading in the wrong direction. But wrath is punishment. Wrath is anger. Wrath is meant not to turn you back, but to pay for what you've done. See, as a child of God, if you have accepted this gift of salvation, you've accepted this sacrificial death that Jesus died in your place, where He took the wrath of God for your sins, if you've accepted that, you and I will never, ever face the wrath of God. I've said it before, and I'm so amazed at it, that this, for Christians, this world is as bad as it'll ever get. We don't experience anything worse than what we're experiencing today. and in this life. But on the flip side, the other side of that same coin is when we reject the gift of salvation, when we reject the sacrificial death that Jesus died for us, when we say, I don't care what you did, I'm going to live my life the way I want to live, this is the only heaven you'll know. This is as good as it gets for you. As hard and as ugly and as hurtful and as painful and as wicked as this world is, it's the closest to heaven you'll ever experience. When you die, there's only the wrath of God to face ahead. That's Scripture. So Jesus says, when you eat this bread, you are to think of my body. It's my body which is for you. And all through this passage, notice that when Paul was telling them and when Jesus told the disciples about this ordinance as he established the Lord's Supper, he says, this is for you. This time that we come together and we gather around this and this service and this ordinance, the Lord's table and the Lord's Supper, we are to remember what He's done, but we're also to ponder on what does it mean for me today. See, the death of Jesus on the cross and His accepting of God's wrath for your sins was something that was done 2,000 years ago, but is still significant for today. He said, this is my body, which is for you. If you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, today the death of Christ is just as real for you as it was some 2,000 years ago. Him accepting God's wrath on your behalf and paying your penalty for your sins is just as real as it was 2,000 years ago. It's just as powerful. If you'll surrender your heart and your life to Jesus, if you'll confess your sins, acknowledge what you know is already the truth, I'm a sinner and I don't measure up to God. If you'll just acknowledge that and surrender to Christ, accept His gift of salvation, His substitutionary death where He died in your place, if you'll accept that, it is real for you today. His body is for you. But also, Christian, His body is for you today too. See, in the Old Testament, as Isaiah was talking about the Messiah that was to come, he said, it's by His stripes we are healed. He took our punishment so that we might live. Jesus said in John 10:10 that I came that you may have life and have it to the full. See, the death of Jesus isn't just something that has relevance to 2,000 years ago. It doesn't just have relevance to the day we accept Christ our Lord and Savior and are born into the family of God as a child of God. It has relevance for every day. Because Jesus died for my sins, today when I sin, I can still have forgiveness. Now see, as a pastor, I struggle just like you struggle. I'm a man just like you're a man. I'm human just like you're human. I want to follow God. I want to do right all the time. I want to say right all the time. But there are times when I blow it. I mess up. And it's in those times where the body of Christ, His substitutionary death, is just as real, just as necessary as it was 2,000 years ago. Just as real and necessary as it was the day I was saved. See, this time of remembrance as we come to take this little small piece of bread that symbolizes the body of Christ, it symbolizes what He did then and what He is doing now on your behalf. In Hebrews it says that Jesus is the great high priest, that He is the one who stands at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us, interceding on our behalf. The death of Jesus, the punishment that He accepted for us is real for you today. It's necessary for you today as a Christian. And we need to remember that Christ died so that I could live differently. So that I wouldn't have to live according to the flesh. So that I wouldn't have to live according to the way that I always thought things should be. That I could live and become this new creature that Paul says we are in Christ Jesus. that my sanctification will continue and growing, and I can work out my salvation with fear and trembling, and I can give evidence of the difference that God makes in my life on a daily basis. See, that's all from the body of Christ. It's relevant for you today, Christians, because we need to remember every day what Christ has done for us and the difference that we can be and experience in our lives because of it. We need to live in gratitude for what Jesus has done. Live a life of thankfulness and obedience, returning the love that God gave for us to Him in praise and worship and obedience. Then in verse 25 it says, in the same way He took the cup, and after the supper saying, this is the cup, or this cup is the new covenant in my blood. In the Old Testament and also in Hebrews, it talks about the fact that there is no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. In the Old Testament, it was a lamb or a goat that was sacrificed, and His blood was taken and it was sprinkled over the altar and it was sprinkled towards the people, and it signified the purifying of the sins of the people and the purifying of the altar, and it made them acceptable before God. This cup that we're going to partake of in just a few minutes is a reminder that Jesus poured His blood out for us, that He is the one-time sacrifice for all the sins of the world, that once one died once so that we all might live. We need to remember what Jesus did on the cross when He shed His blood for the forgiveness of our sins. But we also need to remember that His blood covers our sins today. See, there is nothing that we can do to cause God to wash His hands of us. And that's true for you if you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. There's nothing you can do, nothing that you've ever done that can stop God from wanting to save you and give His grace and mercy to you. That gift of salvation that Jesus bought on the cross, you cannot be bad enough. You have not done enough wrong that He cannot cleanse you of your unrighteousness, of your sin. There's nothing you've done that He can't forgive if you will surrender. But Christians, It's also relevant to us, and we need to remember that this is His blood of the new covenant, and that I don't have to earn His love anymore. See, in the old covenant, every year you had to bring sacrifices, you had to do right, you had to keep the law, you had to make sure you did all the things and have your checklist of doing things right in order to be right with God. That's the old covenant. When Jesus came and He died and He gave His blood for us as the remission of our sins, it did away with the old covenant. It established a new covenant of grace, where we don't have to earn God's forgiveness. We don't have to earn right standing with God. We don't have to work to be right with God. We just have to surrender. But we also need to remember, Christians, that because we're right with God, it should change the way we live. It should change the desires of our heart. It should, when we become this new creature in Christ Jesus, when our sanctification is continuing and we're growing in maturity and we're growing in Christ, there should be a marked difference in our lives. We should be able to look back from 10 years ago and say, and see the evidence of my changing and growing in Christ. I should be able to look back 2 years ago and seeing the difference in my life and my attitude and my service to God. I should be able to see a difference there because I'm in Christ Jesus. His sins have forgiven me, and I'm becoming this new creature that I'm supposed to be and that Jesus died for me to be. And then we should be able to look back a month ago, a week ago, and see how God has been at work in my heart and my life, growing me into this new creature in Christ Jesus, the likeness of Jesus on the earth. Philippians 2, Paul says, have this mind in you which was also in Christ Jesus. We should see that. There should be evidence of that in our lives. So when we come to this time and we share in this Lord's Supper, as we share in this ordinance, we need to remember what He did, but we need to remember who He is today. We remember then, but we remember today what it means to be a Christian. what it means to be a follower of Christ. Is there evidence of that in my life? Is there continued evidence of that in my life? Am I growing in righteousness? Am I growing in my walk with the Lord? Am I growing in faithfulness? Am I growing in my good works? Am I growing in the likeness of Christ? He says to remember. Remember the body which is for you. Remember the covenant, the new covenant, in the blood of Christ. He says, for as often as you eat this bread, in verse 26, and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. When we share this meal, we're proclaiming to one another. We're proclaiming to anyone in this room that may be lost. We're proclaiming to the world that we have surrendered our hearts and our lives, and we've accepted the death of Jesus on our behalf, and we are now a follower of Christ. We have entered into a covenant with Him where He is saving us and we are surrendering to Him. Every time we do this, it's a declaration of who we are and what God has done through Christ and what God is doing through Christ in our lives. We're doing it as a declaration to proclaim the difference that God makes in our lives. But then there's also a warning in verse 27. And I want us to spend just a few minutes of time here. And in just a moment, we're gonna have a time of reflection. We're going to have a time of heeding this warning, because I think it's something that we do not do very often. When I was growing up, we didn't spend a whole lot of time on this warning when I grew up partaking the Lord's Supper. But I want you to hear this, and I want you to see how serious God is about this covenant and about our relationship with Him. Verse 27 says, therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is then to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Now, what does it mean to take this ordinance, to eat the bread and drink of the cup in an unworthy manner? It means that we come without any thought of what Jesus has done, without any thought of what God means to me now, what Jesus is trying to do in my life. I come and I'm just doing it because this is what we do as Baptists, and the preacher's got it ready and the deacons are going to serve it, so I want to make sure I take it, and I don't give any thought of remembrance. I don't give any thought of my life and my relationship with the Lord. Paul says, don't eat or drink this in an unworthy manner. Don't come to it as just something we do. Come to it as an evaluation. A time where you sit and you think about, Jesus, this is what you've done. Jesus, this is what your word says you want to do in my life. Jesus, how am I matching up? Christians, today is a day where we evaluate. We need to spend some time and say, okay, I know what Jesus did on the cross. I know that He died in my place, and I know that I've surrendered my heart and my life to Jesus, and I was saved. But what now is the evidence? What difference is it making in my life? How am I living out my salvation? How am I living differently than I was before? Paul says, look, if you're just coming to drink of the bread, the wine or the juice, and to eat the bread, if you're just coming because it's what you do, he said it's better that you don't do it. Because God takes this serious. Because He takes our relationship serious. He takes our covenant serious. When we surrender our hearts and our life to Jesus, we accept His gift of salvation. You know what the covenant was? On Jesus' behalf, I'm dying in your place. I'm accepting the wrath that God has for you because of your sins. And I'm going to give you salvation. I'm going to give you eternal life. I'm going to give you the opportunity to be more than you could ever imagine you could be, to experience more than you could ever imagine you could experience, to live life differently. That's His part of the covenant. I'm buying your salvation. I'm buying your hope. I'm buying you back from sin and death and hell. But see, our part of the covenant, Jesus says, you cannot be my disciple unless you deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. The covenant that we have between God is, God, I'm accepting your gift of salvation. I thank you for what you've done through Jesus Christ on the cross. And now I'm going to put myself under your authority. I'm going to surrender to you and I'm going to live for your glory and not my own. I'm going to let you transform me and then use me to make a difference in this world for your kingdom's sake. See, that's the covenant. We've forgotten that part of the covenant. We're all about salvation. Yeah, say a prayer, walk down the aisle, take a preacher by the hand, get baptized, boom, you're in. That's not the new covenant. The new covenant is, I'm going to surrender my heart and my life to Jesus. I'm going to live under His authority. I'm going to live for His glory. I'm going to mess up, but when I mess up, when God brings it to my attention, I'm going to ask for forgiveness. I'm going to repent. I'm going to do about face. I'm going to start pursuing godly things in my life, living in a godly manner in my life, not just living like I want to and saying I'm going to get to go to heaven when I die. Scripture says that's not biblical salvation. Scripture says that a faith like that will not save you. So when we come to this time, we need to remember what God has done. We need to be thankful for what He is doing. But we also need to evaluate, am I keeping up my part of the covenant? Am I surrendering to Him? What's the difference He's making? I lost my glasses. It says there's some consequences. First, He tells us how we're supposed to approach it. Then He gives us a warning of taking it in an unworthy manner. It's very similar to when God said, don't take His name in vain. Don't say that you're a God follower when really you're not. Don't call yourself a Christian when you're not serving Him and living for Him. That's what it means to take it in an unworthy manner. But in here are the consequences. Verse 29, but for he who eats and drinks judgment to himself if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number are asleep. See, there's consequences to being flippant about this covenant that we've entered into. God is serious about our relationship with Him. God is serious about this covenant. And He says, when people come and say they're a Christian, they come to church all the time, and on Sundays they act one way, and throughout the rest of the week they live like the world, and you can't see any difference in how they live and how they think and how they function. He says, when you say that you're a Christian and you don't give any evidence in your life of keeping up your end of the covenant and surrendering your heart and your life to Him, He says there are consequences. There are many who are weak, there are many who are sick, and there are some who are dead. Because they were defaming the name of God. Because they're just saying, okay, I'm saved. And they think that's all it's about. I go to church. I'm not as bad as all these other people. God says, that's not it. I didn't save you. I didn't send my son to die for you just so you'd be a good person. I didn't send my son to die for you just so you'd feel guilty enough to come to church on Sundays. I sent my son to die for you so that you'd be radically changed and you'd live for my glory, and I could use you to reach the lost people of the world, to show them the difference that I can make in their life when they surrender it to me. He says, because you refuse to do that, many of you are weak. Many of you are sick. And some have even died because they're defaming the name of the Lord. There are consequences to forgetting our covenant with God. There are consequences for claiming, I believe in Jesus, but we don't live it out. God doesn't play. He is serious. And we need to be serious about our walk with the Lord. Not just this few minutes as we share the Lord's Supper, but every day we need to be serious about our walk with God, surrendering our hearts and our lives and living for His glory, seeing what God will do in and through us. But he says in verse 31, but if we judge ourselves rightly, if we come and we say, God, I want you to show me, I want you to open my eyes, and he begins to reveal to us the areas of our life where we're holding on to our old way of living, our old way of thinking, our old way of doing, and not surrendering and letting him have authority over it. He says, if we judge ourselves rightly and we come to him, we can be forgiven. But if we don't, he says, we'll be judged. And when we're judged as a Christian, we don't go to hell, but we're disciplined. That's part of the weakness, the sickness, and the death. It says we're judged, we're disciplined, verse 32, but when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord so that we will not be condemned along with the world. He disciplines us to draw us back underneath His authority. He disciplines us to bring us back to the right way of living. He disciplines us to bring us back to Him. That's the difference between discipline and wrath. As a parent, I discipline my children because I don't want them out here living like the world lives. I don't want them heading down this path that they're headed down. So I discipline them to draw them back to the right way of living, the right way of behaving, the right way of doing. That's discipline. Wrath is the outpouring of anger. And in God's case, it's a righteous anger. So as we come to this time, I'm going to ask Drew to come up, and I'm going to ask for just a few minutes. I want us to remember. If you're here today and you've been saved, I want you to remember where your salvation come from. It was bought with a great price, and then it was given freely to you. I want you to remember what Jesus has done for you, but I also want you to remember what God wants for you now. Remember the covenant that you entered into with the Lord. Remember how you surrendered your heart and your life to Him. And then I want you to evaluate for just a few minutes. Am I living out my part of the covenant? Am I walking in holiness and righteousness? Am I following God? Drew's going to pray. If you want to come and you want to pray at this altar, make these steps an altar, and you come and you do business with the Lord. If you want to come and you want me to pray with you and say, Brother Neil, I just need you to pray with me that I'd live out this covenant. Maybe you're here today and you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're beginning to understand He's revealing to you that you are a sinner and He died for you. He's purchased your forgiveness if you'll just surrender and accept it. Maybe today is the day that you want to enter into that covenant relationship with God. But I want to tell you, it's a covenant where He forgives your sins and gives you eternal life. But it's a covenant where you surrender your life to Him. It's not easy believism. It's not easy to be a disciple of Christ. But there's no greater life than to live under His authority. So just for the next few minutes, we're going to be quiet. I'm going to stop talking. You do business with the Lord. Lord God, we just thank you so much for what you have done for us on the cross. Lord, we thank you so much for the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit that you sent to convict us of our sins, to adopt us and to prove that we are your children. And then, God, to continually grow us and change us. And Lord God, I pray today that as we come to this time of remembrance, that, Lord, we would remember what you've done, but we would remember what we've committed to. Lord, maybe there's some here today that are experiencing your discipline. They're weak in their faith. They're weak in their bodies. They're running and running and running in life, and they're just exhausted. It seems like everything they're doing is just amounting to nothing. Their family's a mess. Their personal life's a mess. Maybe their finances are a mess. God, they're just weak. They're struggling. God, I pray today that they would repent. They would turn back to you and they would recommit to the covenant. God, maybe there's some here that are sick and you're letting them know that they're sick because they've been pursuing their own thing. God, I pray that they would repent. They're sick of life. They're sick of the struggle. They're sick and tired and sick and tired of being sick and tired. God, meet them today with grace and mercy. Draw them back to you. May your discipline realize its purpose and bring them back to you today. They would refocus on the covenant to live for your glory and for your purpose. And Lord, if there's someone here today in danger of death, because you've warned them, but God, they still refuse to repent. They still refuse to get back under your authority, God, I pray today you'd be merciful and gracious and you'd give them another chance. If there's someone here that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, God, they're on the verge of hell. They're one heartbeat, one breath, one instant away from eternity. God, I pray today that they would be reminded of what you've done for them. And what you want for them, what you bought for them. And all they've got to do is surrender and accept it. God, let them hear today that you didn't come that to take away life, but you came that they may have life and have it to the full. God, I pray today. Pray today for your Holy Spirit to move in our hearts, change our hearts, to glorify your Son Jesus through us. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.